listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
And so understanding the culture really helps me get the gravity of what was actually happening.
Now, you were in that very room, were you not?
Well,
we
know approximately the location of where it probably happened. When you go to Jerusalem and they take you to the upper room, it's a building that was built hundreds of years later. But it's in the same geographical location. So you're in the airspace. No. Good enough. So culture is a big consideration when it comes to getting the full flavor of the Bible. Now, another consideration is geography.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the Bible story located? You know, I think the form of the land, the roads, the trade routes, the vegetation, the rain patterns, I think they come in, really help us to understand what the big message of the Bible is. For example, you know, weather patterns in Israel, it's really wet and green in the north and the west, mm-hmm. but it's brown and dry in the south and the east. And so this is important to remember when Elijah confronts the priest of Baal. Where does he confront them? On Mount Carmel, which is the wettest, greenest corner of the country. He chose that. Remember, there was a three-year drought. There was no rain.
Mm.
And so he goes to Mount Carmel, and he confronts the priest of Baal, and he has them built an altar, and he builds his altar to Yahweh, and he says, okay, call out the gods to light your fire. And of course, that doesn't happen. He pours water on his wood. Fire comes down. It consumes the wood. And then the Elijah orders that the people seize the prophets. And, of course, they do. There's some death. They kill them. And then Elijah says to Ahab, you better get something to eat and drink, because I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. And of course, it did.
Yeah.
And he shouted.
Prior to him lighting the fire?
Yeah, no, after this, okay. So now Ahab is in his chariot heading back across the Jezreel Valley. And the text says in 1 Kings 18, and soon the sky was black with clouds, a heavy rain brought the terrific storm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt, and he ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. So I've often wondered, how did Elijah run faster than King Ahab in his chariot? And the Bible says the Lord gave him special strength. Well, I had some greater understanding on this text a few years ago, because we were there in that Jezreel Valley during the wet season, during December. There was a lot of rain. And right around the town of Afula, which is on the route going east to where Ahab and Elijah were both going, I noticed there were a lot of cars and trucks that were stuck in the mud, because that area floods.
Mm.
Now, if you're in a chariot and it's raining hard, and you're on a dirt road, your chariot might get stuck in the mud, and it's a lot easier to go on foot.
Yeah.
But I think the weather patterns sort of help me understand that. Okay? Look at the trade routes, for example, coming through the nation of Israel. The main road from Egypt comes up the coast. It passes through just south of Mount Carmel through the valley of Megiddo. It passes down the Jezreel Valley, and then it goes down to the largest body of fresh water in the Middle East, the Sea of Galilee. And the road heads along the northwest corner of that lake and then climbs up the Golan Heights to Damascus. Now, this was the main trade route for commerce between Syria and Egypt, and it passed right through the land of Judea and Samaria. Where did the Romans put their tax station to put to tax all the caravans and the merchants.
Mm.
Put it in Capernaum, which is the town right on the northwest corner of the lake. We know there was tax, a toll booth on the freeway there, because Matthew is a tax collector in Capernaum.
And why do we care about this?
Well, Jesus went from Nazareth to Capernaum to start the ministry. Why would he go to Capernaum?
Why?
Because, number one, it's like having your ministry set up at one of the toll booths on the Florida Turnpike.
Okay.
Everybody has to stop. Now, we don't do that anymore, but we used to have to stop and pay a toll, and people would take our money. Yeah. Now you just go under the sensor, and it reads your little transponder.
This is why you have a coffee house in a place where a lot of people travel around the world down in South America, and so they will stop and have coffee, and you can... It's subtly proselytize the gospel of Jesus to them.
It's a strategic location. So all the caravans stop in Capernaum. The Romans look at their goods. They tax them. Okay, a lot of travel through this area. Jesus goes there, and he starts teaching at the synagogue. People hear about this teacher. He starts healing people. People hear about this. He starts casting out demons. People hear about it, and as they travel, they tell the story of what Jesus is doing. So this was a very strategic location for Jesus to start his ministry. So understand the geography, go, oh yeah, and it makes sense. Now we have a story recorded in John chapter 4 where one of the royal officials in Capernaum, mm-hmm. who's heard Jesus, he's seen him heal people, his son gets sick. Now, Jesus is up in Cana, where he turned the water into wine, which is very close to Nazareth. So the royal official leaves Capernaum and walks up to Cana.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells Jesus, my son is sick. Please come back down with me.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember the story. Jesus said, will you never believe me unless you see miraculous signs? The official pleaded, Lord, please come now before my little boy dies. Jesus told him, go back home, your son will live. And the man believed Jesus and started home. While the man was on his way, some of his servants met him with the news that his son was alive and well. He asked them what the boy had begun to get better, and they replied, yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, his fever disappeared. Then the father realized that was the very time Jesus had told him, your son will live. And he and his entire household believed in Jesus. Now, we read the story and we go, okay, it's a good story. But understanding the geography even gives us a more deeper meaning to this. Because you can walk from Capernaum to Cana, and the route is you go down the west side of the lake, you come to the foot of Mount Arbel, mm-hmm. there's a valley there with the road that winds up this valley, it takes you up to the plateau, and a couple miles in front of you is the site of Cana. You're walking up from about 660 feet below sea level to about 1,000 feet above sea level, so you're climbing about 1,400 feet going up. Walking up, and my friend Randy Smith has done this with some of his students, it takes 7 hours to walk up to Cana, but it only takes 5 hours to walk back downhill.
Because you're moving faster?
Well, you're going downhill.
Yeah.
Okay?
Wow.
You can leave Capernaum right before dawn, and you can be in Cana at noontime.
Did you do this?
I haven't done it.
No.
And you can then return and be back to Capernaum before sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the man comes. He begs Jesus to come. It's about 1 o'clock, noontime, midday. And Jesus says, your son is healed. Now, the man did not return to Capernaum that night. Maybe he hung around. Maybe he spent some time there. The text says he headed home, but he took his time. And now when he's walking back the next day, the servants are meeting him on the road. You see, what John wants us to know is this man had great faith that Jesus healed his son. There was no more urgency for him to get back to
his
see.
His faith was that strong.
His faith.
Now, this just a little aside here without ringing the bell. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking, Marble Collegiate Church, New York City, he said towards the end of his life, I believe the whole of it is that we're here to learn faith. I believe that's the whole reason we are here. Okay. Why, it says it's impossible to please God without faith. Why that Mary believed the angel, and therefore her faith was given unto her as righteousness. Abraham believed.
I want to be more like Jesus. Lord, help me be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. My prayer is they see more Jesus in me. Lord, I want to be more like Jesus. It's a dying world that responds to care. Help me to live your love by being there. May love's victory be present in me. Lord, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. Lord, help me be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. My prayer is they see more Jesus in me. Lord, I want to be more like Jesus. Though we may prophesy and speak with tongues, we have nothing if we have no love. May love's victory be present in me. Lord, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. Lord, help me be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. My prayer is they see more Jesus in me. Lord, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. Lord, help me be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. My prayer is they see more Jesus in me. Lord, I want to be.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
Shout unto